The following tape recordings were made in Cleveland, Ohio, at the 45th Regular Convention of Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, meeting June 20th to June 29th, 1962. On June 18th and 19th, there were two extra pre-session meetings, during which time there were also broadcasts made from Cleveland. The commentator on these broadcasts is the Reverend Arnold Westler. Beginning on Monday, June 18th, these broadcasts were made over KFUO, St. Louis, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then again at 8 o'clock the next morning. On Thursday, June 21st, following his election, the Reverend Dr. Oliver Harms, the newly elected president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, spoke to the world through the means of recording and broadcast.
This is Arnold Wessel reporting from Cleveland, Ohio, where the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will open its convention on Wednesday of this week. American Protestants, or at least some Lutherans among them, are not disinterested in doctrinal matters or technical theological discussion. This morning, more than 1,200 lay and clergy representatives of the church body met here to discuss dozens of speakers speak on a long list of doctrinal issues. They sat steadily all of this morning, this afternoon, and they will sit again tonight and tomorrow. The delegates have come from all parts of the country for a two-day open hearing on doctrinal issues that are in controversy in the Synod. They deal particularly with the standards by which the Synod defines its doctrinal position on some of these issues that have bothered not only the Missouri Synod, but what have been a source of controversy among Lutherans and other Protestants for many years. On the other hand, they also affect relations which the Synod should have with other Lutherans and other Protestants. One of the key issues that dramatically withdrawn from consideration, at least for the time being, are the release of a special report this morning. The Synod's Committee on Constitutional Matters has ruled that action taken 2 years ago at a convention was unconstitutional when the Synod voted then to put the brief statement alongside the Lutheran confessions in the Constitution of the Church. According to the committee, the only way that the Synod can put this statement of faith into the Constitution by an amendment, and this was not done 2 years ago. The issue was certain to come up later as action is presented before the delegates in a voting session. At this point, it's obvious that the chairman of the hearing, Dr. Theodore Nichol of Chicago, was right in his opening remarks this morning as he said that much difference of opinion is due simply to misunderstanding or to a lack or ignorance of all of the facts involved. The 40-man committee is taking down testimony before it comes in with recommendations on these issues in later sessions as the delegates vote. Many other committees, by the way, have been meeting here for several days. No business will be up for action until midweek when the convention actually gets underway. The opening will take place Wednesday morning with the service of Holy Communion. This is the first of 12 days and nights in which the largest Lutheran body in America meets for a few months. Handles 3 years of business. This is Arnold Wessler reporting from Cleveland. Where the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is scheduled to open its convention tomorrow morning. Officially, the convention of the Missouri Synod is not underway, but the lay and clergy representatives of this 2.5 million member body are here already in the middle of convention business. This noon, representatives of the press were reminded that it was in Cleveland in 1935 that Dr. John W. Benton was first elected president of the Synod. The 78-year-old clergyman confessed today that he's been asked whether or not he will be a candidate for re-election. In the Missouri Synod, he explained, we have never run for office. Competent observers take this as an indication that Dr. Benton is leaving the matter completely in the hands of voting delegates. And balloting will start tomorrow. Top officers, the president and the four vice presidents, are elected in an open primary. Together with other top officials, Dr. Benton reported on the growth of the Synod in recent years. He asked specifically that the press emphasize that this grace, this growth, is due to the grace of God. Referring to his own role in the life of the church body in the past 27 years, the president said, if anything was accomplished in my administration, give the credit to God. The growth of the Synod, Dr. Walter Walbrecht, executive director, revealed, is also creating some problems. He cited particularly the need for funds to underwrite the expanding educational and mission program of the church. Needs for capital funds, he reported, have been estimated anywhere from $20 to $96 million. A decision on the possibility of a special offering is certain to be made later in the convention. More than 1,200 delegates and visitors have been busy both last night and all day today in discussing a wide range of intersynodical and doctrinal matters. Open hearings have been conducted on controversial issues that range from modern translations of the Bible to relations with other Lutheran and Protestant bodies. 7 altars have been set up in the public auditorium for a communion service tomorrow morning. Between 5,000 and 6,000 people are expected to attend. Dr. Roland Wiederanders of Corpus Christi, Texas, second vice president of the Synod, will preach at the opening service. The first item of business on the agenda in the opening session tomorrow afternoon will be the presidential report. Then balloting will begin for the presidency. This is Arnold Wessler reporting from Cleveland.
This is Arnold Wessler reporting from Cleveland, Ohio, where the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod opened its convention sessions today. A short while ago, just before the close of the first session of the convention, delegates heard a dramatic announcement. Dr. John W. Behnken, president of the church body for the past 27 years, announced before the elections got underway, "I shall be grateful, if you so see it, to elect another man to the presidency. I'm not so presumptuous," he said, "to believe that I would be reelected." He cited as reasons for his declination his advancing age, he is 78, and what he called infirmities of advancing years, especially arthritis which afflicts his knees. He asked the delegates to elect what he called a great and courageous leader, one who is unflinchingly loyal to the Word of God and to the Lutheran confession. Almost 4,000 persons attended a 3-hour worship service for Holy Communion this morning in public auditorium to open the convention officially. Dr. Roland Wiederanders, Corpus Christi, Texas, one of the Synod's vice presidents, pleaded with worshipers to stand fast in the faith that is securely anchored in the bedrock of God's Word. The gospel, which tells all who hear it that Christ died for sinners, Christian said, is a message which our world needs even more than adequate defense, foreign aid, and space exploration. Dr. John W. Behnken, in his presidential address, opened the first business session this afternoon with a plea for an attitude of deep repentance and renewed genuine loyalty to God's Word. He warned against pride over the church's progress and indifference to personal dedication. The first item of business, as we said before, actually will be the election of a president. There are no candidates in a sense, because voting for the presidency and the 4 vice presidents is done in a primary-style election. Top executive officers of what is temporarily at least the largest Lutheran Synod in the United States have repeated again and again their statements that were made to the press yesterday that growth is producing serious problems for the Synod. Dr. Walbrecht, executive director, reported that needs for capital funds for both expansion and educational mission programs of the Synod are estimated to run anywhere from a minimum of $25 million to a maximum of $96 million. These conventions held every 3 years do not mean that the leaders have not been preparing their projections, which now reach up to 1980. Tomorrow the business sessions will be in full swing, and they will not let up for the next 9 days. This has been Arnold Wessler reporting from Cleveland, Ohio. The big news here in Cleveland, of course, is that the nation's largest Lutheran Synod, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has its first new president in 27 years. Dr. Oliver Harms of St. Louis, by the way, a native Missourian, was named to the post here in mid-afternoon on the 5th ballot. He defeated, by the way, Dr. Roland Wiederanders of Corpus Christi, Texas. For the past 3 years, Dr. Harms has been the Synod's full-time first vice president and previously a vice president for 3 years. He is a member of Glendale Lutheran Church. Dr. John Behnken, who was elected to the presidency of the Synod for the first time here in Cleveland in 1935, yesterday had asked the delegates to consider his age and increasing infirmities by choosing a new president. and asked Dean about his reaction to the election of the new president, he said that he feels very fine about it. Asked if he foresaw any changes in the path of the Senate, the new president told a press conference,
"I hope that I may be able, by the grace of God, to carry on in the tradition of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, which has had its position on the Scriptures and the Lutheran Confession."
On the question of relations with other Lutheran and Protestant bodies, Dr. Harm said that he was more interested in working for unity of doctrine than in merger, since merger under any other conditions than unity would not be beneficial. He said he is not satisfied with the Church's record in reaching out to enough people and spreading its influence. He explained that he will stress preaching the Word of God, since this is the only thing that can change the hearts of men. Elections are already underway to name the Senate's four vice presidents. Late this afternoon, the representatives of this 2.5 million member church body turned their attention to a proposal for forming a new International Lutheran Synodical Conference for continuing discussions with other church bodies. This morning, delegates got a glimpse of what the population explosion may mean to the church's program. As background to his presentation, Dr. Walter Walbrecht, executive director, said one out of every three persons who has ever lived in the world is alive today, and that Christian churches cannot afford to be abused in a world in which they are not even keeping pace with the birth rate. He emphasized that the church is losing ground to those who are completely materialistic or under the influence of pagan religion. Discussion has already started on the knotty internal problems that have doctrinal implications. At the center of the discussion at the moment is action taken 3 years ago when the Synod voted to add a brief statement to the Scriptures and to the Lutheran Confessions in its Constitution. Recently, the Synod Committee on Constitutional Matters held that the action was unconstitutional, and the full committee here is upholding the decision on the ground that the resolution has the effect of amending the Constitution without following the procedure required for doing so by the Constitution itself. What status the doctrinal statement will have if the recommendation is upheld is now uncertain. Tomorrow's schedule is sure to be filled with discussion on a wide range of topics as committees bring in resolutions on virtually every phase of the church's activity. If people make news, then the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod made a great deal of it as representatives of the 2.5 million member church body here today completed selection of its top leadership. The three top positions are now filled by new men. Yesterday, Dr. Oliver Harms of St. Louis was named the Synod's seventh president. Today, Dr. Roland Wiederenders of Corpus Christi, Texas, was elected as the full-time first vice president, and Dr. Theodore Nicholas Chicago, the second vice president. Dr. Nichol thus replaces Dr. Wiederenders, who in turn has replaced Dr. Harms. In St. Louis, Dr. George Whitmer, pastor of Messiah Church, was re-elected as third vice president, and Dr. Arthur Nitz of San Francisco was renamed fourth vice president. Incidentally, both Dr. Wiederenders and Dr. Nitz once served in St. Louis. Dr. Wiederenders was assistant pastor of Zion Lutheran Church, and Dr. Nitz was pastor of St. Stephen's Lutheran Church. Today, the 1,200 lay and clergy delegates heard details of a broad expansion program in the educational system which the Synod operates to train pastors, teachers, and workers for specialized ministry. According to reliable sources, there will be a proposal soon for a special $50 million offering to finance new colleges, seminaries, and expansion at the 14 existing campuses, as well as provide funds for underwriting new expansion in mission churches and special ministries. Years of debate came to some sort of dead end today when the delegates voted overwhelmingly to accept the ruling that the Senate's action in 1959 was unconstitutional as it attempted to insert a new doctrinal document, the brief statement, into its constitution. President John Fenton explained quickly when the vote was taken, "This does not mean that we are not in accord with these doctrinal statements. This was only a constitutional question." This morning, Dr. Martin Koenig, president of Concordia Teachers College in River Forest, Illinois, outlined the task of the church by saying, "Let the church speak for God.
men who live in a social order that seeks to humanize God and deify man. Let the church speak to men for God about thermonuclear war, about therapeutic abortion, about labor and management with its tensions and bitterness. After considerable debate, the convention gave approval for continuing doctrinal discussions with both Presbyterian and Reformed bodies, and without much discussion, delegates voted to continue sending observers to conventions of the World Council of Churches and to interdenominational organizations. Tomorrow is Saturday, but the delegates will put in a full morning after spending the evening first in elections. And if the weather continues its warming trend, the delegates may comfort themselves with the thought that on the site of this auditorium 111 years ago, a Lutheran minister first introduced to America the custom of using the Christmas tree. This is Arnold Wester reporting to KFUO from Cleveland, where the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is holding its convention.
Beloved fellow redeemed and fellow members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, whose presence was invoked by prayer, you have chosen me to be your servant in the office of the presidency of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The selection came from the Synod, which has been signally blessed by a merciful God during its 115-year history. This Synod increased in numbers as well as in influence under the leadership of six illustrious presidents who were wonderfully endowed by the grace of God, on whom all of us are dependent. Standing at the foot of this line of great men, I feel very small. I am aware of the fact that all of my predecessors left their mark on the history of our Synod. I appreciate fully the deep impression made upon churchmen the world over by the dynamic personality of my immediate predecessor, Dr. John W. Benson, who has shown me many personal favors. I am very grateful to him for this. My prayer is that God may continue to bestow his blessings upon our retiring president, whom our Synod honored with the longest presidential tenure in its history. Since the inauspicious beginning of our church body in 1847, it has lengthened and broadened its outreach to an almost incredible dimension under the blessings of God. This is true very especially of the last two decades. What a privilege it is for all of us to be party to a program of expansion based on preaching and teaching the gospel to the glory of God and for the salvation of the souls of men. I pray that God may show us ways of reaching more and more people with the gospel from day to day, also through strong personal witness by word and deed, wherever we have opportunity or wherever there is need. Problems within our Synod are not few, and no one at this time of the world's history should expect them to become fewer in number or diminish in intensity. Satan, the devil, the old evil foe, will see that problems will be severe. We shall resist him victoriously through faith in Christ Jesus. Satan cannot stand in the presence of Jesus, the conqueror of sin, death, and the devil. However, Satan will use all his wiles. He may, for example, seek to dissuade God's children from bringing their financial offerings in a measure compatible with God's blessings in this area, from a proper stewardship of time, which would give opportunity for offering service to the local congregation, from daily testimony to fellow men and women concerning the way to Jesus, and from many other services. Satan knows that the most cunning and pernicious device of all is to create strife among Christians. For example, controversy over the doctrine taught in the schools, pulpits, colleges, and seminaries in our synod. May we withstand the foe of God and man on this critical battlefront. May our all-wise God, even through controversy, if he wills it, lead us deeper and deeper into the clear fountain of truth opened to us by his revelation. May he keep us steadfast, faithful, and true to his word. Ultimately, our help and our hope lie in our gracious God and in his Son Jesus, in whom we believe by the power of the Holy Ghost. He will guide us and keep us. He will move all the members of the synod to do what he desires. His blessings in keeping with his promises will come. I should like to make a statement now in keeping with our synodical handbook, 4.19c. I pray that God may keep me loyal, quote, to the Holy Scriptures as the inspired and inerrant Word of God and the symbolical book of the Lutheran Church as a true exposition of the Scriptures, quote, close. In the confidence that I shall have the cooperation of all the individual congregations, teachers, pastors, and professors of the Synod, in the certainty of divine guidance from the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I accept the presidency of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the name of the same Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Arnold Wesser reporting to KSUO from the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod here in Cleveland, Ohio. Two obstacles to membership in the World Council of Churches were listed by a seminary professor who this morning addressed the 1,200 lay and clergy leaders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on the topic, the ecumenical movement in a confessional church. Dr. Fred Kramer of Concordia Seminary in Springfield, Illinois, cited those churches in the World Council of Churches which minimize the doctrine of original sin and thus alter the nature of the gospel message, as well as those WCC bodies which advocate the social gospel as being the obstacle. Acknowledging the scandal which a divided Christian church causes on mission fields, he said, the situation of the mission field cannot be healed as long as churches at home are sick with divisions and denominationalism. Delegates this morning compiled the necessary two-thirds majority to change the Senate's constitution and set up national conventions every 2 instead of 3 years. Growing volume and complexity of business were given as the reasons for the change. The proposal now goes to congregations where it can still be voted down in this next 6-month period. A top official in the state of Missouri, Milton Carpenter of St. Louis, the state treasurer, was named treasurer of the Senate in elections held last night. Results are still being announced on a long list of officers from the board of directors down. St. Louis will be represented by another officer in addition to Carpenter. Paul Friedrich, executive director of the Lutheran Layman's League, was named to the board of directors. We have both Mr. Carpenter and Mr. Friedrich with us in the telephone booth here, and we'd like to ask Mr. Carpenter about his reaction to being elected. I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve my church in this high office. I realize this is a great honor, and I truly hope that by the grace of God, I'll be equal to the task. Oh. We also have Mr. Friedrich with us, and I'd like to repeat the same question to Mr. Friedrich. How do you feel? What's your reaction to being elected to the board of directors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, this big 2.5 million member church body, the largest at least at this moment in the state of the entire country, in fact, not just this state, Mr. Friedrich.
When I was informed this morning that I had been elected to the board of directors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I was filled with mixed feelings. I'm deeply grateful to my fellow Lutherans for the honor that they have bestowed upon me by this election, and also for the confidence which by this election they have reposed in me. It's a great responsibility and a sacred trust to be charged with the many and varied duties connected with the operation and management of the affairs of our great church body. And I accept this honor and this responsibility in true Christian humility. I assure you that I will do my very best in this office. It is my earnest prayer that Almighty God may give me and all the officers, boards, committees, and other workers in the Senate the faith, the courage, and the wisdom to perform our duties well and in a truly God-pleasing manner. Your prayers toward this end are earnestly requested. Thank you very much.
Other members elected to the Board of Directors are Dr. Edwin Bernthal of Detroit, Reverend William Gilkey of Minneapolis, Reverend William Cohn of Baltimore, Walter Hink of Minneapolis, Walter Koch of Denver, and Jay Fultonhauer of San Francisco. The youth of the church through their organization, the Walter League, this morning presented a Walter Cross to President John Bencken. Named in honor of the Synod's first president, the cross will be known and used as the Presidential Cross. Concordia Publishing House here this morning announced officially that it has plans for a $2 million expansion program if the Synod authorizes the project. Delegates this morning approved the choosing and hiring of a full-time youth director for the Synod. Delegates were told that they will be given the chance on Tuesday to discuss the possibility of a special offering, likely about $50 million. Officials here have this morning also denied the report which appeared in a local newspaper and perhaps throughout the entire country, to the effect that Synod was threatening to cut off financial aid to Valparaiso University in Indiana over the question of some of the teachings of the professors. President Bencken said, "I wish to have it clearly understood that Synod has not intended and does not intend to exercise control over Valparaiso University through such a device as cutting off financial support." He explained that a newspaper reporter here apparently misunderstood the difference between an official proposal to the delegates and a recommended proposal sent in by some individual for consideration. Tomorrow there will be no official business session. Local Lutheran churches in Greater Cleveland will conduct special worship services with guest speakers from all parts of the nation, including 15 professors and officials and pastors from St. Louis. Tonight and tomorrow there will be 3 performances of a drama written and produced especially for this occasion. Business sessions will resume Monday morning. This is Arnold Wester reporting from the Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Cleveland, Ohio. Arnold Wester reporting to KFUO from the Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod here in Cleveland, Ohio. Today, the 2.5 million member Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, sponsor of the largest system of Protestant parochial schools in America, approximately 1,300 of them, reaffirmed its opposition to federal aid to non-public schools. 1,400 delegates attending the second week of the Synod's convention here in Cleveland extended its opposition by going on record as refusing loans for construction purposes of their parochial schools. Acceptance of even 1% of federal aid, Dr. Oswald Huffman, Director of Public Relations for the church body, said, opens the door to the state to exercise possible control over the other 99% of the dollar and of the education. The delegates also voted to encourage the denomination's 6,000 congregations to cope with the sharp increase in the divorce rate during the past 9 years, and with the evidences of general decline of moral values in marriage and family life. In a show of unity, the delegates voted overwhelmingly to reaffirm the Synod's confessional basis as stated in its constitution, and to refer further discussion on doctrinal statements that have been issued by the Synod over the years to a proposed commission on theology and church relations. The same commission has been asked to consult with the Synod's mission board on questions of relations which congregations on foreign fields should have with other church bodies. The discussion has started on a set of 15 questions submitted for yes and no answers to the convention.
The questions deal with a variety of doctrinal issues. The floor committee is asking that these questions also be referred to the new commission, because the questions they say must carefully be understood before answers can be given. The questions were originally drawn up by a faction within the church which was seeking to tie seminary professors and leaders to their well-defined doctrinal positions. Over the weekend, more than 6,200 delegates and visitors attended performances of Cry Wisdom in the Streets, a religious drama written especially for this convention. St. Paul was a key figure in the drama, which combined early New Testament and modern scenes and themes to demonstrate the meaning of the Christian faith for all time. One of the evidences of the growth of the church body is being underscored by demand for additional personnel. To date, the delegates have approved employment of a full-time youth director and the addition of 5 men to the staff on parish education. 3 St. Louisans and a former St. Louisan were re-elected to the Board of Control of Concordia Seminary. They include Ralph Petering, Vice President of Emerson Electra Company, August Eckemeyer, Jr., an attorney, and Eugene Finke, Vice President of Mercantile Trust Company, Reverend George Rosie of Baltimore and former pastor of Bethel Lutheran Church in University City was also renamed. And a final note, apparently the delegates are enjoying this convention. They voted to accept invitations for convention for the next 10-year period. In 1965, it will be Detroit, and then at 2-year intervals after that, it will be New York, Denver, and Milwaukee. This is Arnold Wester reporting to KSUO from the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Cleveland, Ohio. This is Arnold Wester reporting to KSUO from the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Cleveland, Ohio. Officially, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has expressed no reaction to yesterday's Supreme Court decision banning prayer from public schools. But unofficially, Dr. Oswald Huffman, Director of Public Relations for the Synod, said, "I think the Supreme Court decision was a very fine, a very wise one." Commenting on the same issue, Dr. Arthur Miller, Executive Secretary of the Synod's Board for Parish Education, said, "Our Synod has never made a statement on this specific problem. Our Board of Parish Education has gone on record as favoring Bible reading and teaching about religion in public schools. Prayer, however, is an act of worship and presents an altogether different problem." Late this afternoon, Dr. Martin Carroll, professor of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, read a statement to the 1,400 delegates in which he stated very clearly his position on the doctrine of scriptures. He withdrew several papers that had become the center of controversy and asked the Senate to forgive his past actions that have caused dissension within the church body. No final action has been taken on his demand that he be forced to resign his seminary position. Just a few moments ago, the convention delegates here voted unanimously to name Dr. John W. Benkin president for the past 27 years, honorary president for the rest of his life. Growth problems in the Missouri Synod became apparent today as the Synod approved the division of 2 of its United States districts, Minnesota and the Central. Another implication of growth, delegates heard this morning, is the need for a special $50 million offering. Preliminary discussion, not complete at the moment, indicates sympathy with the need, but a reluctance to raise the huge amount and in the way that it is being recommended. In an attempt to unify its voice on doctrinal issues, the delegates voted today the creation of a Missouri Synod Commission on Theology and Fellowship. The new group replaces several existing committees. Mission leaders today outlined the desperate need for a more aggressive mission program throughout the world. Dr. Herman Mayer, head of World Missions, reported that the effect of the population explosion in Asia and Africa means that by 1980, the Christian population will have become only 22% of the world's population. Plans were adopted for more activity in special ministries, literature and literacy, as well as medical missions. The delegates also voted to assume responsibility for joint work being carried on now in Nigeria, Africa. As a result of elections, the following St. Louisans have been named to post. Reverend Justice Fritzman of Florissant to the Board for Parish Education, as well as Dr. Paul W. Lang, superintendent of the Lutheran High School Association. Principal or teacher Theodore Gassner from Hope Church has been named to the Board of Directors of Concordia Publishing House. Thomas Fitzman, Director of Lutheran Hour Relations, has been named to the Board of North American Missions. And Mr. Harold Bowman,
Arnold Wessel reporting to KFUO from the Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Cleveland, Ohio. Concern over the growing menace of communism to both the church and state was expressed today at the Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod here in Cleveland. The 2,000 delegates and visitors heard communism described as a religious philosophy which substitutes the creature for the creator and renounces the need of a savior from sin. At the same time, the delegates were cautioned that efforts to combat communism through innuendo, slander, and unfounded accusations are an abuse of the law of Christian love. Missionary officials asked the 6,000 congregations in the 2.5 million member synod to meet the challenge in what was described as the spiritual wasteland in the heartland of many large metropolitan areas. Congregations were warned against the danger of becoming class-conscious. The Synod also reaffirmed its position that all persons, regardless of race or ethnic origin, are individuals whom God has reached with the gospel. They were asked to face up to the problems of integration and migration. Last night, in a dramatic moment that welded the delegates together into harmony, the convention, by a vote of 650-17, assured Dr. Martin Charlemagne, professor at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, a controversial figure who has been under attack for more than 2 years, that they accepted his convention statement concerning his doctrinal position on the scriptures and extended forgiveness to him for any acts that might have caused dissension within the Synod. In effect, the vote quashed any effort to compel him to resign his post. Another seminary professor, Dr. Herbert Bowman, told the convention that the circumstances may determine whether or not an act is unionism. When a Christian wants to know whether an act is unionistic or not, he suggested, the first question should be, what does this act do to my disciple relationship, to my acknowledgement of the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ? Two St. Louisans today were named to the Synod's new commission on theology and church relations. They are the Reverend Herbert Hornstein, pastor of Luther Memorial Church in Richmond Heights, and Mr. Oscar Kunz, a member of Holy Cross Church. In order to attract more non-professional lay workers into church-related occupations and to offer improved benefits to its professional workers, the Synod also approved a more comprehensive benefit pension plan. Essentially, it is a mutual benefit fund out of which members may receive retirement and welfare benefits. This is Arnold Wester reporting to KFUO from the Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in Cleveland, Ohio. Relations between Lutherans in America made headline news today, both here in Cleveland and in Detroit. Without discussion or a dissenting vote, the 2,000 representatives of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod voted to cooperate in discussion with all other major Lutheran bodies to explore creation of a new inter-Lutheran agency to succeed the National Lutheran Council. At the same time, they expressed a desire to reestablish doctrinal discussions with two bodies which have severed relations in recent years, the Evangelical Lutheran Synod and the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. The delegates today extended greetings to America's newest Lutheran church body, the Lutheran Church in America, being formed in Detroit today. Dr. John Behnken, president of the Missouri Synod, will convey the greetings personally when he attends a banquet of the new church body on Saturday. The population boom and growth of the Missouri Synod were reflected in action taken today as the delegates voted to establish a new junior college in Southern California to give preliminary training to church workers. Estimated cost of the college is $7 million. Delegates also authorized officials to study the possibility of establishing a senior college in the western states and to look for a site for a junior college in the southeastern states. But the delegates have reached no agreement, despite much talk, about methods of raising funds to finance the educational and mission expansion programs. After much debate, started when a survey committee report was released several months ago, the Synod rejected a move to limit tenure of office for its top officers. The president and vice president will be allowed to serve as long as conventions continue to elect them. A St. Louisan, President John Kovac of the Synod of Evangelical Lutheran Churches, addressed the convention briefly this morning. He urged the Synod to continue in its old paths. One big purpose of a convention like this, he said, is to reaffirm our loyalty to God's word. He paid tribute to Dr. Behnken as champion of true Lutheranism, a warm friend and spiritual father. Delegates also approved expansion of facilities for graduate study at Concordia Seminary.
The administration was permitted to add two professors to the staff to serve in the graduate department. The reporter for this direct report from the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod this afternoon was William Reinhardt. And with this report, KFUO concludes this series of direct reports from the Cleveland Convention. Further features on the convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will be presented at 12 o'clock on Sunday noon on the Youth Finds the Way segment of Sunday 12 to 1, and again on Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Emerson Russell speaking to you from Cleveland, Ohio. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod meeting in convention this Thursday night in Cleveland passed a resolution by an overwhelming majority regarding a special stewardship effort to be approached by the church. This special stewardship effort expresses the fact and resolves the fact that the Synod asks all synodical and district leaders, as well as congregations and individuals, to make an all-out effort to undergird the Venture of Faith program, and further resolve that this new forward in faith effort include a double thrust, namely, one, that a program of education with the purpose of achieving a higher level of spiritual life rededication be made. Secondly, that an occasion for enlarged giving for the worldwide mission of the church is to be achieved by adding the sum of $10 million to the annual synodical budget each year during the 1963 to 1965 triennium, and further resolved that the congregations of the Synod be encouraged to subscribe to the Forward in Faith effort with an extra challenging yearly budget allotment and or a special offering for synodical work. And finally, it resolved that the 1965 convention of the Synod evaluate the progress of this program in terms of projected needs and income. This is Emerson Russell speaking from Cleveland.
This is John Lussie speaking to you from the press room of the Public Auditorium, Cleveland, Ohio. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod completed its convention program with adjournment at 12:30 this noon. Dr. John W. Behnken occupied the president's chair for the last time. A succession of many resolutions were adopted rapidly by the delegates. Highlighting the final session was passage of a resolution which opens the door for the denomination to plan with the other major Lutheran bodies of America a cooperative association of over 8 million American Lutherans. The new association to replace the present National Lutheran Council is to address itself to common theological study and Christian service. Success or failure of the project depended upon the favorable Missouri Senate action. While some provisions of the survey commission had been adopted in previous sessions, another was passed today creating a single division of missions in the church body. However, the many unfinished items were referred to the boards and committees involved for further study. The resolution specified that such items might be implemented if persons or groups involved are found agreeable. The next convention would then be required to ratify such action. The Synod Survey Commission was dismissed by the delegates with thanks. This is John Lussie concluding our report from the convention hall at Cleveland, Ohio.